Flying Fortresses, the pioneer four-motored bomber in the air since 1935. Steamroller construction, weight about 25 tons, speed better than 300 miles an hour.
It is hard to pick the Boeing Company's most famous plane, but any short list would certainly include the B-17 Flying Fortress. This week marks an anniversary of a fateful and mostly forgotten flight back in 1935 that almost scuttled not only the plane, but the entire company. Here is historian Felix Bunnell, brought to us by the King County Library System.
Yeah, it's one of the most iconic bombers from World War II, key part of Allied strategy to fight the Nazis and liberate Europe. Before that, though, what eventually became the B-17 suffered a tragic setback not many people remember. You know, as we've seen in Indonesia this week, flying still has inherent risks, right? Anyhow, Boeing's roots as a local company go back to 1916, but the B-17 story begins in 1934 when the company was broken up by the Roosevelt administration. They'd been building airplanes, flying A-mail.
United was part of Boeing at one point.
Yeah, exactly. They were forced to spin off several companies, United Technologies and what became United Airlines. Bill Boeing eventually sort of left the company, kind of a bitter, defeated man, and a guy named Claire Ekvet was in charge in September of 1934 and decided to focus on building big airplanes, kind of like what they do today. Around the same time, the U.S. Army Air Corps asked for prototypes for a multi-engine coastal defense plane. They weren't thinking about strategic bombing yet. They're just thinking about protecting the coast from invaders. And, oh, one catch, there's no money from the government to build the prototype. You got to do it yourself. So Ekvet says, let's bet the whole company. Let's spend every little bit of available cash, and we'll design and build what's called the Model 299. It's a big, shiny, aluminum, four-engine bomber bristling with machine guns. It debuts at Boeing Field on a Sunday in July of 1935. It's a big hit. It's huge. Gets a ton of media attention. And as we've seen with even more recent Boeing rollouts, it generates a lot of excitement. Mike Lombardi is a Boeing corporate historian. I spoke with him earlier this month at his office at the Boeing Archives. Boy, what a cool office that is. You see all the stuff stacked around the models of planes and stuff? Anyway, he told me how the Model 299 came to be known by its more famous nickname.
It had four different machine gun positions to defend it, and it was going to, they proposed that it could go out into the ocean and find enemy ships, and it would protect America from invasion. And for those with that talk and with these guns, one of the great statements here from one of our newspaper newsmen here in Seattle, Richard Smith, with the Seattle Times, he exclaimed on seeing this airplane that it was a flying fortress.
Yeah, so Boeing immediately trademarked that name, of course, and later Dick Smith went to work for Boeing PR department. What a coincidence.
Yeah.
So the plane flies around Seattle throughout August. Then it heads to Wright Field in Dayton, Ohio, for trials to compete against these clearly inferior twin-engine bombers from Douglas and Martin. They were kind of building old-school planes. Boeing kind of took it a notch ahead. The tests went on throughout September and October, and the B-17 is clearly outperforming the other two planes. So then on the morning of October 30th, 1935, 83 years ago yesterday, a crew of five is aboard the Model 299 for another test flight. They point the plane down the runway, accelerate, and head up into the sky, but they forgot to release a device called a gust lock.
As the plane was climbing without any control, it stalled, it crashed, and burned. The airplane was gone. And sadly, Boeing lost this wonderful test pilot, Les Tower, along with the Air Corps pilot. So this was an incredible tragedy. And not just the loss of a Boeing employee or test pilot, but the loss of this airplane. Everything the company had went into this prototype, and there it was, a burning wreck on the field. By default, Boeing lost the competition. We didn't have an airplane to finish, and Douglas won. So that was the end of the Boeing company.
Wow.
The gust lock, when the plane is parked, the gust lock was put in place so the flaps didn't blow in the wind and get damaged, right? But it wasn't clear that was turned on, and they didn't have checklists yet to go through.
So they couldn't move the flaps?
They couldn't change the altitude of the plane. It was set in such a way that they didn't realize it until, anyway, Les Tower ran up the central aisle to try to get them to turn the thing on. Anyway, very tragic plane. Les Tower died. This other Army pilot died. Mike Lombardi says things were pretty bleak around the Boeing factory in November and December of 35 as it looked like it would all shut down. But, of course, as we all know, it wasn't really over for the scrappy little aerospace giant. Come January 17th, 1936, things were looking up.
One thing saved it, and that was that taking that risk on being innovative, on taking that risk to go a little bit farther than what the customer asked for and give them a better airplane. This airplane flew faster, higher, could carry more, could go farther than the Douglas airplane. Clearly a better airplane all the way around. It was the clear winner if it had made it through the competition. And so the Air Corps decided they had to have that Boeing airplane.
So the the better product finally won out.
Yeah, they did buy something like a couple hundred of these Douglas B-18s, which are an old-school style of bomber, but then they found a way to pay for 13 Flying Fortresses that saved the Boeing company, and then the thing ultimately outperformed the other planes and was the workhorse of the war in Europe. And the whole notion of a pilot checklist came about because of what happened with these controls that were left locked in place. So just a weird little forgotten wrinkle in Boeing history before that famous plane took to the air.
History, I'm Felix Spinell, every Wednesday on Seattle's Morning News. Thanks, Felix.